This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Thank you for being here this afternoon. A busy time in the Umpqua Valley. A lot going on in the summertime, but folks already starting to turn their attention towards fall and the general election. One of the folks doing that, Will Lathrop, Republican candidate for Attorney General, who joins us live from Joseph, Oregon this afternoon. Will, thanks for being on.
Hey, thanks for having me, Kyle.
And I know a lot of smoke over in that area with all the fires. What's it look like over there?
Yeah, I drove into Joseph last night for Chief Joseph Day celebration, and it was so smoky you couldn't see the mountains. But today it's cleared up a little bit, and it's just hazy. It's not too bad.
All right. Well, we'll continue to monitor the fires around the region and our statewide coverage. But wanted to talk about your campaign a bit. Remind folks, we've talked to you before, about a little bit of an overview of your background.
Yeah. So, yeah, I was born and raised in Joseph, Oregon, but then I came to Salem to go to law school. And after law school, I was a prosecutor in Yamhill County, then recruited away to Marion County to join their special victims unit. And I was a child sex abuse prosecutor for a number of years. I also handled homicide, adult sexual assault, and domestic violence cases, but my major focus in Oregon was protecting children from violence. I was recruited away to the national level to do child abuse intervention work across the United States. And then I was hired by a global human rights organization to do human trafficking work in Africa. So for the last 8 years, I've been living first in East Africa, working on land violence cases. And then I was in West Africa. I lived in Ghana, and I worked with the government there to rescue child slaves and prosecute slave traders and masters. So that's my background.
And a very interesting background, taking you a lot of different places. What lured you back to the U.S.?
Well, I've always been a resident of Oregon when I was living overseas. So every year I'd come back for a month or two. And just watching the decay of law and order and governance across the state is like watching the frame-by-frame death of my state. And so it was never really my game plan to run for public office. I was very happy just doing public service and law enforcement work to protect women and children from violence. But I felt like Oregon was experiencing a failure of leadership, and I felt duty-bound to come back and try to be a wave of new leadership that was going to focus on protecting people and solving real problems instead of engaging in radical politics.
And I'm sure a lot of consideration went back went into that decision, and you made that decision pretty early on, right?
Yeah, my wife and I made that decision while we were in Ghana a few years ago, and I came back about 18 months ago, and I've been running my campaign full-time ever since.
Well, it's rare to have a campaign go that long. How active are you being this summer?
Very active. So, part of the reason it went so long, Kyle, is that I knew I was nobody coming from nowhere, and I needed to spend the time and have a long runway to get to understand what the needs of the voters are were across the state, but also get to have people get a better idea of who I am and what I stand for and what I hope to do. And so I campaign 6 days a week, early mornings to late evening. Even when I'm on vacation like today, I'll spend most of the day doing campaign work. Because the one thing you can control as a candidate is how hard you work, and I will not be outworked.
And a lot of times in the campaign cycle, folks spend the summertime kind of getting their infrastructure together, working on significant contributors and making kind of a plan to jump in right after Labor Day. It sounds like you're not taking a break, though.
No, you do those things as well. You've got to raise money. You've got to build up your infrastructure with your websites and in your palm cards and all the things that you do. But yes, we're campaigning full time, and we haven't taken a break in 18 months.
Now, you recently listed 70-plus law enforcement officials, sheriffs, district attorneys, some retired officials who've given you their endorsement. Sounds like you've really connected with a lot of leaders in that sector.
Yeah, so law enforcement is very dependent upon the Attorney General's office. The Attorney General is supposed to be the one that runs point on all organized crime. That's drug trafficking, human trafficking, organized retail theft, child abuse, elder abuse, domestic violence. And so a lot of the law enforcement across the state I mean, let's face it. Oregon is a very unsafe place to live right now, and crime is at an all-time high. And law enforcement have been largely thrown under the bus over the last 4 or 5 years. So I've gotten a lot of support from law enforcement simply because they're looking for someone that at the state level that understands what real law enforcement looks like, is going to be dedicated to protecting victims from violence, and is going to collaborate with police across the state and prosecutors across the state rather than attack them or blame them. So I've been well supported.
Have you, as you've met with some of these folks, have they been a little wary of a prosecutor, given the fact that some counties are dealing with not a lot of things being prosecuted sometimes?
Yeah, you know, not really, because my prosecutorial record speaks for itself. We've had a recent small wave of prosecutors in the state that have been George Soros funded and been unwilling to prosecute and really unwilling to stand up for victims. But that's a rare thing, and it just doesn't really exist where you're at either. You have good police and prosecutors there. I think the number one issue for police and prosecutors across the state right now is recruitment. It's really hard to get good recruits because we've demoralized the people that were sacrificing, working all night long, getting shot at, seeing really horrible and difficult things. And Oregon started telling them that they were bad people. And so a lot of them left the profession. And now we see this vacuum of manpower or woman power. So I think locally you'd experience the same thing. The critical issue facing law enforcement right now is just being able to recruit good people to do the work.
And we recently talked to the Roseburg police chief, and I don't remember the specific number, but he's been down a number of officers for quite some time and trying some new strategies even to get people to jump into the profession or stay in the profession. A lot of folks that are in it right now, of course, are also approaching the retirement point that they can do as a law enforcement professional as well. So it sounds like that area has really been a struggle.
Yeah, and as an attorney general, you can play an informal role as the ambassador for law enforcement across the state. That's protecting law enforcement from undue attacks or from sort of radical, radical activists. And it's also just, through marketing and through word of mouth, just making it, helping other people understand the significant benefit of having great professional law enforcement across the state. And what a job of honor that is to serve your community.
Now, you had a release out the other day, and you had a comment in there about rebuilding the justice system. Talk more about your perspective on that.
Yeah, so there's three things that have happened in Oregon that's left us quite vulnerable to all kinds of crime. One is that we legalized drugs through ballot measure 110. The second, in the legislature, led by my opponent, Dan Rayfield, who's been the Speaker of the House, they started tearing down the tools available to law enforcement to actually intervene in cases of drug trafficking. So you have this the demand has gone way up because we've legalized drugs, and then the ability of the police to intercede them has gone down because we took away their tools to actually find out who was trafficking drugs and who isn't. And then the third thing that happened is the attorney general, who's supposed to run point on all organized crime and really lean into drug trafficking, has unplugged from the federal government. That's FBI and DEA and HIDA. And then has been part of the decriminalization, deincarceration movement herself. And so you're talking about Oregon's top cop, who's actually not doing anything to prevent drug trafficking and drug activity coming into our state. And so when I say rebuilding the justice system, it's those three things. We've got to find a fix that works for ballot measure 110. That's first. There's been a fix, and we got to see if that works. The second thing is we have to draft and propose new legislation that's going to give law enforcement the tools to actually intervene in cases of drug trafficking. And then third, the attorney general needs to do their job, and I will do it well. And that is to pull law enforcement together, build a collaborative strategy, start sharing information, and simply become as organized as the organized cartels are around us, and so that we can make it exceedingly difficult to deal drugs in the state of Oregon.
Now, with the changes in some of the drug laws going into effect this fall, do you have a forecast as to the effect you think that might have?
Well, if you're following it, you know, some of the more rural counties are opting out of what they're calling this drug deflection system. You know, some of the mid-sized counties are doing their best with limited finances to put together deflection and treatment systems. But Multnomah County is essentially doing almost next to nothing. And so it's going to depend with this new legislation on what county you go in, whether or not you have access to treatment, legitimate access to treatment, or you know, you can continue to use drugs with total lack of accountability altogether. And so we're going to have to see as it rolls out, because it's different in every county.
All right, going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. More when we come back. Will Lathrop, Republican candidate for Attorney General. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248. Lars Larson coming up at 1. Tomorrow's Inside Douglas County program going a whole different direction. We're going to do a wine in the Umpqua program. Dyson DeMara from Hillcrest Vineyards will be in. He's traveled the planet working in the wine industry, and we'll talk about how this summer is going on at his properties and some other things related to wine in the Umpqua on a special edition tomorrow. Will Lathrop, candidate for Attorney General, joining us from Joseph, Oregon right now. Let's talk about sort of the structural elements of the Attorney General's office. How many staff does the office have?
Yeah, the staff is quite large, between attorneys and paralegals, investigators, and administrative staff. It's around 1,400 employees.
And I think a lot of people would be surprised that number is that high. What leads to that high staffing level?
Well, you know, the Attorney General's office does, has a lot of different functions. It has the Consumer Protection Division. It has the charitable division, the Victims' Rights, Civil Rights. It does all of the legal business for the state, the contracts, defends the state in court. And then, as we discussed, the criminal law and appellate law. So there's eight different divisions and spanning a lot of different legal areas, and so it just requires a lot of manpower.
And what percentage of the staff are actual attorneys?
Probably less than a quarter.
So then a lot of the other folks are just working in support areas?
Yeah, paralegals, investigators. So a big part of it's investigation. So one of the big roles of the Attorney General is to investigate all public corruption. That can be public misuse of office or public misuse of funds. And so there's just a vast amount of duties. All of them are really critical, and most of them are law enforcement or accountability mechanisms for the state.
So a lot going on there. How do you feel like your background qualifies you to lead that big a staff?
Yeah, so the two things I would say is, of the two candidates, I'm the only one with law enforcement experience, and most of the role of the Attorney General, most of the functions of the Attorney General are either civil or criminal law enforcement, not law creation, but actually enforcing the laws on the books. And the second thing is, of the two candidates, I'm the only one that's held an executive leadership position. When I was leading teams in Africa, I was leading multinational teams, fairly large teams, and we were partnering with the U.S. State Department, UNICEF, and the local government to rescue child slaves and prosecute slave traders and masters. So I was over three offices at the time. And so I've led large teams before. This, of course, this one will be of a larger scale, but it will not be such a difficult transition.
Now, does the Attorney General, whoever is occupying that office, do they ever find themselves in court conducting?
The Attorney Generals themselves?
Right.
I think that's a personal choice. Pretty rarely, though, you're at an executive, you're an executive leadership position at that point.
And you're then essentially supervising a lot of different folks trying to work with these different cases. It sounds like some of these are ones that, maybe unlike what folks are used to on a more local level, might take months and months just to work their way through even an investigative phase.
Yeah, it depends on the case. Sometimes if you're talking about large public corruption or huge amounts of financial crime or infiltrating large drug cartels, international drug cartels, that's not something that happens overnight. But some things like consumer protection, taking on online sexual exploitation of children, some of those things can be done quite quickly if we just put the effort into it.
And do you feel like amongst the staff that are there now, how effective do you believe they are?
When I started off as a lawyer 20 years ago, the Attorney General's office and the Department of Justice, which is under the Attorney General, was the creme de la creme of state agencies. It was the most effective and the best and the brightest attorneys went there. And I think a lot of them are still there, and they've been poorly led for 10 years. So my sense is that people are hungry for change, and they're hungry for a leader that's going to put politics aside and get back to just enforcing the law and protecting people and making the state somewhere where businesses can thrive and people can feel safe.
And why is it that politics and relationships inside the political arena, why does that end up driving some of this sometimes?
I don't quite understand it. The Attorney General's office has, it's been led by Democrats, it's been led by Republicans over the years, but this is really the first regime and administration that's become hyper-political, that seems to make their decisions based on how the political winds are blowing, and a lot of it's radical politics. It's not even sort of mainstream politics, and it's been disastrous. Honestly, it's been a disaster. And the fear is that the person I'm running against, who's the Speaker of the House, he's been engaged in that same sort of political atmosphere of making decisions on what's either best for his career or for what's best for his party or some radical special interest group, some environmental interest group, or defund the police or deincarcerate political groups. And I just come from a plain law enforcement background where you enforce the laws as they're passed, you protect people, and you make simple, rational, common sense decisions.
How old were you when you knew you wanted to be an attorney?
in probably in my 20s. I always wanted to play in the NFL, so I was more focused on sports until that dried up, and then this was the second choice.
And why did that attract you?
At the time, coming out of a competitive environment, I was playing college sports. I liked the idea of competition and winning, and because law, when you're in the courtroom, you're in trial, one person wins and one person doesn't. But once I got into the law, I realized you could really use it to help people. You can use it for your own gain or power or all those things, and that's why people don't like lawyers generally. But what's kind of hidden beneath that is a group of lawyers that realize that there are child victims, there are people that are really suffering in this world, and you can use your analytical skill set and your arguing skill set to make their lives better. And once I got turned on to that, that's all I've ever wanted to do. That's all I want to do for the rest of my life.
Now, you talked about sports. What did you do there?
I played football in college, so I was an outside linebacker a long time ago.
And at what school?
I started off at the University of Idaho, and then I finished my playing career at the University of Puget Sound, which is in Tacoma.
Interesting. I didn't. That was not anything I was expecting to hear in this interview.
Yeah, it's not that relevant to the job, I guess, but it was something I used to be passionate about.
Now, as you go around the state, have you made it to every county so far?
I think I've been to every county, but five, and I was supposed to go to one on Monday, Malheur County, but of course you probably know that they're experiencing extreme forest fires, and so we're going to postpone that trip. But by the end of August, we think we'll get to all 36 counties.
And have you? When were you in Douglas County?
Been there several times. I met your local sheriff has endorsed me. I've met with him. I've talked to the Republican Party and the Republican women in Douglas County. Yeah, I think I've probably spoken Douglas County two or three times.
And we've got about a minute left on Inside Douglas County. How do you see this race playing out? Do you believe it's going to be a close race with your opponent?
It's really close right now. We're pulling kind of dead even, but I think I'm going to win. I think the momentum is behind me. And when people get to know my background and my story and what I hope to do, it's a lot more. I guess it just fits the needs of Oregonians right now. We don't need another politician. We don't need to recycle the same ideas that aren't working. We need fresh blood. We need new leadership, and leadership that's not focused on politics, but focused on problem solving and getting things changed. So I like my chances.
And so do you feel like your prosecutorial background kind of gives you an edge there?
Yeah, I'm the only one. My opponent doesn't have any law enforcement experience. So he's trying to run for the Oregon's top cop or top law enforcement position with zero law enforcement experience, which is going to be a tough row for him to hoe. For me, it's been my whole career. And so it's a natural transition. It's a natural upward transition for me.
Now, if people want to find out more about you, what's your website?
It's willlathrop.com. That's just Will, W-I-L-L, Lathrop, L-A-T-H-R-O-P.com. And you can find me on Facebook, Twitter, or X, and Instagram, if you like social media.
Will Lathrop, Republican candidate for Attorney General, thanks for being on today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.